Now, you all know me. I am not a preacher. That was not my gift. So I asked my mother when I found out that I got the nod, and I went to Mom and Dad, and I said, I'm going to have to speak on Wednesday night. What do you think? And my mother gave me this advice. Don't cry. That's Mom. Okay. Well, you know I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher. And I teach Old Testament survey, and I teach the prophets, and I teach church history. And that's what I know. And then on Saturdays, Bill and I lead a Bible study. And right now we're going over the 68 things that happen or are happening to us when we get saved, when we accept Christ as our Savior. But like any great teacher, I give tests, and we're taking a test right now. Take that piece of paper you got, turn it over, and we're going to do a quick test. We're going to see if you can fill in the blank, and here we go. You ready? We're going to do 9 of these. The house divided against itself cannot... Don't say it. You're supposed to write it down. Okay, here's the next one. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our... Don't say it. Write it down. Your word is a lamp unto my... Don't say it. Write it down. Here's the next one. I am a good shepherd, and I know my... You know your cow. Okay, here's the next one. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my... Here's the next one. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is... Here's the next one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for... Fill it in. Here's the 8th one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... Number 9. He who humbles himself will be... blank. Okay. Anybody get them all? I'll just read you the answers. Stand. Debtors. Feet, sheep, church, weak, righteousness, wisdom, exalted. This was, good job, Ricky, this was in the TNT last week. I thought that was kind of interesting. So that's one way to burn some time, and I've only got a few more minutes. No, on Saturday mornings, we are going over once again the 68 things that happen to us or are happening to us when we get saved. Some of them are instant, some of them are progressive. And so right now we are on number, Bill, are we on number 18? Nope, number 18. And so on your thing... What we're going to do is we're going to pick one of those things and we're going to go through them the way I go through them. This is how I study them. So the number we're going to pick is number, what is that beep?
Fire alarm.
Fire alarm. So the number we're going to pick is number 28. Okay. And I'll read it to you. We are indwelt by the Spirit. Okay? And of course, I just lost my download, so I'm going to use these. Oh, I have to have this little thing. We have a challenge tonight. I was going to do a whole bunch of stuff on that and make it real easy, but I was called today and told that Don has COVID. So I'm so glad that that came up, because one thing we need to do right now is pray. So let's do that. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room and everyone listening in at home. I thank you for the gifts that you've given each one of these and myself. Father, bless Don. Take those symptoms, Father, and erase them. Help her get through this as quickly as possible. Bless Pastor and Sue as they rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I have my computer has just died, so what we're going to do is these paper notes. So here we go. On number 28 on your sheet, it lists, I think, 6 or 7 verses, and we're going to go through them, and this is how I study them. You don't have to study them this way, but this is how I do it, and this is what we're going to do. Here we go. This version is the NIV. Okay, and there's many different versions. And I study out of computers, right? I am an old guy. I'm going to be 70 next month, but I do know how to run a computer. Thank goodness. I can't do anything like write letters or send emails, but I can pull up these apps. And I would strongly suggest, if you have a phone or a tablet, download a Bible app, because you can do things really quickly, like this right here. Here we go. We're talking about this thing called the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit. So we are indwelt by the Spirit. The first thing I ask myself, though, before I even get into the actual verse, I want to ask myself this question. Do I understand what number 28 is actually asking me to do? For example, we are indwelt by the Spirit. Do I know what the Spirit is? Do I know what indwelt means? Do I know what that word means? So what I do in my computer is I look this word up. Indwelt. Here's the definition. Be permanently present in someone's soul or mind, possesses spiritually the Holy Spirit, indwelled in believers. So what that means is you get it. Not part-time, not sometimes, not once in a while. When you're a believer, you get the Holy Spirit. Okay? And it's in you. It's in you. It's in me. We all have it. If we are a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go speaking in tongues. You don't have to get baptized to get it. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's read the verse. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, up to the time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So, first time I read that verse, I went, what? What's that tell me? So what I do... Let's see if I can do this now. Hey, Mitch, what button do I push? Oh, you got to turn it on. Well, how do you do that? The right side. Oh, this button, these two buttons over here? Okay. Oh, the on button. It's on the left side. There you go. Okay, so we just read that. Jesus had not yet been glorified, correct? So now I'm going to change translations in my computer. I'm going to jump right into something real easy called the Amplified. God's, oh no, this is God's word, excuse me. This is God's word. This is a different translation that I use because it makes sense. It's, this translation is more modern day, okay? Same verse. Jesus said this about the Spirit, whom his believers would receive. The Spirit was not yet evident as it would be after Jesus had been glorified. Now, what's glorified? That's his resurrection, right? Okay. I still don't understand what the verse means, though. I don't get it. Do you get it? I don't. I'm not that smart. Okay? So this is what I did. I take the whole paragraph. I take that whole paragraph, starting with, you know, where that verse is found. John 7:39. I'm going to take the whole paragraph. Now, that, it's 37 through 44, so I'm going to read it to you. Did we put that in there, Mitch? No. All right, so I'll just read it to you. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." This he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing these words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants, from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Now that takes that verse and puts it into context. And you see a couple of things here. First off, our Lord Jesus said these things. And he said this: rivers of living water will flow out of you, out of me. Okay? So, this is what I get out of that. And I write it down. I wish we could have put this up there. I actually write out these scriptures. I copy and paste them in my notes in the computer. And then I put my conclusions on the bottom. I call it therefore conclusions. This is what I've learned from reading all those verses. You ready? As a believer, I received the Holy Spirit. So did you. And rivers of living water will flow from within me. That is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Here we go. The next verse. Romans 5:5. Let's go to Romans 5:5. Let's see if I can do this. Ha! We don't need pastor. Nah, yes we do. Yes we do. Okay, here we go. Romans 5:5. This is the NIV version. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. What do you get out of that? Do you get much? No. So let's do something. Let's see if did we get this one? No, we didn't. Okay, so I switched and I put it in the NIV. I took the whole paragraph. So we're going to read I'll read the whole paragraph to you. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 5. Ready? "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And here's our verse: and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us." Now, there's another verse that says we have the Holy Spirit. Like we were talking in the dorms tonight, I remember when I got saved. I thought my life would get better. And actually, it got worse. I made an enemy. You know who that enemy is. It's Satan. All right? I already messed up my life enough, but now I've really met, I mean, I didn't mess up. I mean, I accepted Christ, but now I got someone mad at me, and he's, my life didn't get better. And over the years, we have grown. All of us have grown in the Scriptures. We've grown in our and matured in our faith. And there's actually levels of faith. Charles Stanley talks about it. You know, the young Christian, the immature Christian, when they have a problem, they go, oh, God, I have this problem, and it's all about the problem. Right? A mature Christian, that really mature Christian, when the problem comes up and goes, God, what are you going to do about it? Doesn't get excited at all. He's going to sit back and watch God do something great. He's ready because he knows who's in charge. You and I are not here by chance. You are not in this room by chance. God has your life planned out, and it's a good plan. It's a good plan. And you and I are going to suffer. We're probably going to die before he comes back. Everybody else so far has. I know we don't want to. But some of us are going to get sick. Bad things are going to happen. For example, I bought a new pickup truck. Just bought this truck. Coming back, I was coming back from the Ford on Saturday, and I heard this boom. I'm on I-5. Traffic's pretty thick. All of a sudden, I hear this noise. I didn't know what it was. I got home. I looked at the truck. No problems. Went to church Sunday. After Sunday service, I go out and get in the truck. I put it in reverse. I start backing out of my spot. I look in the side mirror. I go, what's that? I stop the truck. I get out. I got a dent in my brand new truck about this big. Right where the mirror hit. You know, when the mirror, you look down the side of your truck. Now, this is a new truck. I like my new truck. I go and I look at this, and here's this dent in my new truck. Now, see, bad things happen. Let me tell you how bad this is. I go to the dent guy. You know the dent guy that just pushes it out? Right? You've seen those guys. They just take that tool and they push that dent out. He said, I can't do that. You have to go to a body fender man. I go, why is that? He says, it's right on the crease. You got to go to the body fender man. So I go to the body fender man today. And he says, we're going to have to replace your door. I go, what? This dent is 3 inches across. It doesn't go in that far. He says, I know. But today's cars, the doors are skins are so thin, we can't do what we used to do. It's cheaper for us just to get a new door. I said, well, how long will this take? He says, take about a month by the time you get your insurance on board. I said, well, how much is this going to cost? He says, oh, between $6,000 and $7,000. Now, I was thinking I could get this fixed and not even call my insurance company. But, you know, bad things happen, right? They just happen. Nobody knows why. So I read all that, and this is what I got out of it. You ready? God's love has been poured out in my heart. What is that love? That's the Holy Spirit. Now, he is the author of love. That's what it says. Right? He's the author of love. Before God, there was no love. You want to know how to love? Get to know God. You want to get to know God? Start reading your Bible. I mean, I'm sure all you do, but for those who are listening at home, that's how you get to know him. And that beep. Right? And that's what the Bible is. It's God's revelation of himself to us. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. Have you ever done that? I remember when I got my doctorate, they give you that fancy thing and you put over you and you have the hat and and everybody thinks you're really smart. I realized I was an idiot. But now I've studied this stuff. I've been coming here a long time and just taking a bunch of classes, and I'm telling you, I don't know much. But I know this, God is wonderful. And when I need to know something, His Spirit inside me recalls it. It's crazy. And He recalls it to my mind just when I need it. And it doesn't clutter my mind when I don't need it. It's great. All right, let's move on. We're going to be here a long time tonight, guys. I got a lot of notes. No, we'll stop here pretty soon. Romans 8:9. Here we go. Mitch, can you fix that? No, I think we did. Okay, here. No, we didn't. Here we go. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. And those are really strong words, right? Let's read it again. You are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Oh, this is all on the Holy Spirit, guys. Here's what it says in the Amplified. You ready? However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him and is not a child of God. Hey, Thomas. How you doing, buddy? Hey, did you bring me a business card? Did you bring your cards tonight? Good. So, this is quite amazing. And when you take this verse and you look at it, this is what I get out of it. You ready? I'm a child of God. So are you. That's what you are. I know, Mom, you're 90 whatever years old, but you're still a child. You got it? That's just what we are. We're children. And God uses that term because if we don't come like children to Him, we're missing the boat. You know? Have you ever known that teen? I can remember my son, bless his heart. When he was a teenager, he was the smartest guy in the world. You know, those who have kids, right? When they get to that teenage, I remember looking at my son once going, well, since you know so much, why don't you go buy a lottery ticket? Because I figured he was going to be a millionaire. But we can't do that with God. We can't go, and if we do, it just things get tough, right? We have to go like children to Him and say, Father, what do you want me to do? That means He's leading, not Larry, right? That's like when Pastor asked me to speak tonight. I looked right at him and said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to speak. Why? It's stressful. Isn't it, Mitch? Isn't it, Pastor Wheelock? Right, it's stressful. In fact, Dad, I think I'm going to ask you to speak at the men's breakfast one Saturday. Just because. You'd be great. So this is what I get out of this verse. Because I am a child of God, I have the Holy Spirit. How's that? Are we doing good? Next one, Corinthians. Oh, that's the Amplified. Pastor Mitch, we put that in there. I forgot. I know. Here we go, Corinthians, NIV version. Here we go. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Now that sounds pretty straightforward, right? I didn't get it. So I changed the version to the Amplified. Nope, not there. Okay, I'll read it. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and is who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own? So when we get saved, what happens is we get this gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Think about this. Throughout the Old Testament, they didn't get the Holy Spirit. Only a few people did, right? God anointed David. Remember that? He got it for a while. He didn't get it permanently, though, because he was anointed three different times. You and I get anointed once. Just once. That's it. You can't lose your salvation. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. It's in you. Enjoy it. It's really kind of fun. Okay, so I took it to the next level in this one. I took the whole paragraph because I still didn't quite get what it was talking about here. Right? So here's the whole paragraph. In the Amplified Version. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Am I therefore to take the members of Christ? Now this is going to put this whole thing in perspective. The members of Christ and make them part of a prostitute? Certainly not. Do you not know that the ones who joins themselves to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, speaking of God, the two shall be one flesh, but the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run away from sexual immorality in any form, whether through or thought or behavior, whether visible or written. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the one who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own? Now, there's a lot of stuff packed in that little paragraph. And the things that really struck me when I read it, and it's funny because every time I read it, I see something new. Okay? So if we go, once again, this is what I get out of this paragraph. And I'm going to go back to something in just a second that I didn't write in here. The Holy Spirit is in with me. It is within me. That's what I get. And I put these therefore clauses in Larry Hansen's name, right? So I get the Holy Spirit is in within me. The Holy Spirit is a gift, God, my gift from God. That's how I write my notes, okay? But I saw something just a second. Let me see if I can find it again. Oh, yeah, here it is. Don't you know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh, but one who is united and joined to the Lord is one spirit. Did you see that? So when a man and a woman get married, they become one flesh, right? If you go out and you have relations with a prostitute, you become one flesh with that person. Now, here's what's really weird about this. In Corinth, Paul wrote this because they were still going to prostitutes. The gods that they worshipped, some of the Christians were still doing that. And here's Paul explaining to them that when you have sexual relations with somebody, you become one spirit. And when you get the Holy Spirit from God, you and God become one spirit. That's big, folks. That's big. You are united to the Father by the Son's blood. Not because I did anything, not because I was super good, Not because I had it all figured out, because God did it all. It was His plan. He did it. I don't have to worry about getting it right. Let me tell you something. Most of you guys don't know this, but I'm a full-blown dyslexic. I get everything backwards, right? My mom will testify that I had a very tough time in school. I flunked fourth grade. Flunked it. Didn't belong there. Well, let me put it this way. I had to take it twice. So I guess I did belong there, right? I remember as a kid going to the Presbyterian Church with Reverend Brown. Remember him? I love that. I love sitting in the pews listening to him speak because he would look at me and smile. I loved it. Sunday school, I absolutely hated. You know why? Because they ask questions. Did you memorize this? What did this say? Did you read it? Man, I can't read. I'm in the Sunday school class and I can't read. I mean, that's the way I was. And I thought I'd never get into heaven because I couldn't pass the test. That's what I remember about going to Sunday school as a little kid. I said to myself, man, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to make it into heaven. I'm not smart enough like all these other kids. That's the way I saw myself. But you know, guys, I hope you don't look at yourself that way because that's not the way it is. You and I do nothing. We've done nothing to deserve it. We just receive it. And that's called grace. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. All right. How are we doing so far? You guys falling asleep yet? Okay. Here we go. 2 Corinthians. I got to find that little button there. 2 Corinthians, NIV. Here's the verse. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Remember? He's talking to the Corinthians. But now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. Whoa. What's he saying? Did you guys get it? I didn't. So, I go to the Amplified. Let's see if we did the Amplified in this one. Come on. There we go. Now it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and whom has anointed us, empowering us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Whoa. A lot of stuff there. A lot different than the last one. Right? We got a lot of stuff here. Establishes and confirms us. Did I do it? No, he did it. He established me in the faith. He confirmed me in the faith. In Christ, who has anointed us, which means empowering us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the first mention of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're talked about tonight. Every believer in this room has the Holy Spirit. Therefore he has or she has a gift. Or more than one gift. Holy Spirit gifts, the way I was taught in Bible college by Dr. Ken. Remember Dr. Ken? Susie, you remember? This is what I remember about what he taught me. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the body of Christ. They're not for out there in the world. So here's an example. If you can sing really, really good, which I cannot, but if I could, that is not a gift. That's a talent. Now, God gives talents, but a gift is different. Now, I can't sing. I mean, I can, but it sounds horrible. Absolutely, disgustingly, terribly bad. I know this because my oldest daughter, Rachel, we were sitting right over there where Tom's sitting, and we were singing. And man, I tell you what, I was on fire that night. I was singing, or it was Sunday, I think actually Sunday. And I was singing away, and my daughter leaned over to me and said, "Dad, Dad, not so loud." Now, you got to know you can't sing if your daughter who loves you tells you to be quiet. Singing in church. And I was feeling it, I'm telling you. Now, if all of a sudden I could sing like, I don't know, pick some fancy singer. Roberta? How about Frank Sinatra? Okay, if I could sing like Frank Sinatra, that's a gift. Because I couldn't do it before. Pastor Jim, remember when we built this place? Do you remember what I did? No, you don't. No, you don't. You were too busy. That was a long time ago. First time I walked in those doors, Pastor Wheelock brought me down here, said, "You got to come and look at this, Larry. This is fantastic." And I walked in here, was an old factory that made boxes. I said, "These people are crazy. This is never going to work. Never going to work." It was the ugliest place you ever seen in your life. Pastor Wheelock and Pastor Jim's telling me about all this wonderful stuff. Said, in my brain, I'm going, "It's never going to work. I'm not being part of this." And then someone asked me to come down and help. And everything I touched turned to gold in here. It was absolutely phenomenal. And I knew this was the Holy Spirit because I didn't know, whatever I had to do, it was easy. Now look at this place. If you saw this place when we first started, it was disgusting. Big piles of glue from the machines that dripped. The glue dripped out of these. It was terrible, but that's a gift. Here's a gift. You ready? Preaching. Prophesizing. Teaching. Loving. Encouraging. Edifying. And I say this all the time. My job and your job is not to tell me, and I'm not to tell you what you're doing wrong. That's not my job. I know what I'm doing wrong. You don't need to tell me. Don't we all know what we're doing wrong when we do it? Don't we get that Holy Spirit thing going, hey, that ain't good. What are you doing? Right? But what I need from you is you to tell me who I am in Christ, that I'm bought by blood, that I'm no longer my own, but I belong to the one who died for me, that I'm a prince, I'm a son of God, you're a son and daughter of God himself. You need to be reminded, because what's the only work we have? Paul says it. Bill, what's the only work? To believe in the one who was sent. Because Satan is always trying to get that out of your heart. He's always throwing that in your ear. He's been a liar from when? The beginning. I almost said a bad word, but that's what he is. Right? Okay, did I read that? Oh, we talked about the Spirit. Did we read the paragraph? No, we didn't. I got carried away. See, I was preaching, and I'm not a preacher. So that's what happens. Okay, here we go. The Corinthians. This is the paragraph in 2 Corinthians 1, 21. It's actually just two verses. "Now, it is God who establishes and confirms us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and whom has anointed us," that's empowering us, "with the gifts of the Spirit. It is he who has put his seal on us," that is, he has appropriated us and certified us as his, "and has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts," where? In our hearts, "as a pledge, like a security deposit, to guarantee the fulfillment of his promise of eternal life." A lot of stuff there, folks. A lot of stuff. But here's the nut. Here's what it meant to me. Here's my therefore statements. God makes me stand firm, not Larry Hansen. Right? God does it. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father to me. God has empowered me with gifts or a gift to be used for you. Remember, we talked about gifts. Gifts are to be used in the body.